Hello, my name's Rose McDonough, and this is an extract from my story, Magpie. It was obvious that Magpie had not been killed by a dog, because there were no teeth marks. Magpie was the little one's rabbit. He'd been as pretty as a rabbit could aim to be. White with black spots gathered at his nose and his rump and his paws. The little one is what we call the Sanderson's daughter, Grace, because she was only 6. We were 8, 10, 11, and 12. We made a game of trying to work out who had killed Magpie. We drew up a list of suspects. Our first was another evacuee, a boy living 2 doors down. Thin and wiry with black hair crisscrossing his eyes, he must have been around 13. To spy on him, the 4 of us squeezed into the narrow strip of nettle-filled land that ran between the gardens and the boundary fence of the Territorial Army ground. We watched him clip his toenails on the back steps and hang out the family's laundry from a wicker basket when the woman badgered him to it. He must have known we were there because now and again he'd stop and look towards the nettles, his mouth hanging open slightly, a small dark gap. Our second suspect was the old man next door who threw stones at the town pigeons when they clustered on his bird feeder. He lived on the other side to the boy. He had a mulberry-coloured mark on his neck that spread up to the underside of his chin, like a lichen spreading over stone. We asked about it at the dinner table. "It's called a Weinstein birthmark, and by the way, I hope you weren't staring," Mr. Sanderson said. The phrase made us imagine a sleepy, half-drunk mother sloshing a glass of red wine over her newborn baby. We were suspicious because he had his whole house to himself, with its 4 windows at the front and 4 windows at the back. Who needed all those rooms? Why hadn't he been given children to board? Then there was the third suspect, the woman who went into church every day. She had her own set of keys. She always wore a shawl with orange flowers on it tied around her hair. Every morning at 8:30, she'd walk up the path next to the rowan tree and open the great nail-studded front door of the Methodist church and disappear inside. We asked Mr. Sanderson if she worked there. "Not that I know of, just does it out of the goodness of her heart." But it seemed to us that there could be nothing to do all day in the sparse, whitewashed building. No cleaning job could take that long. We pictured her kneeling in the light from the plain warped windows, making her penance to God for some unimaginable sin over and over again.